What's going on, everybody? Josh Engelman and Ben Raza here for AwesomeMo.com, and we are back with another PGA Contenders this week for the Palmetto Championship, which I had to read off the top of my sheet because this is a new tournament. So let's start here, first and foremost. Hit that like button, subscribe to the channel, hit the notification bell so you know when everything goes live. We got to get that out of the way right from the jump. Now, what do we know about the Palmetto Championship, an event that did not exist before this week?
That's a question to me. You want to make me answer that?
No, it's the other guy in the show.
Yeah, the other guy. You know what? We don't know much. I'm going to be honest. It's a new event. It's a new course that looks extremely long, but I don't think that tells the full story. 7,600 yards plus is massive. But from what I've heard, there's a lot of run out. It's links style. The other thing, and the elephant in the room, the U.S. Open is next week, and it's in California, which is across the country. So we're going to have a bad field, and normally, traditionally, the PGA Tour isn't going to subject guys to a brutal test of golf the week before the most brutal test of golf. So I have a lot of questions and not a lot of answers, but we talk about this a lot. That's good for betting, because neither do the books. There's a lot of opportunity if you have a read on how this course plays.
Most people wouldn't point this out, but in the interest of full disclosure, I do think we need to talk at least a little bit about the fact that we went 0-for last week for the first time in I don't know how long. Did not work out well. I had Streelman knocking on the door, just couldn't get there. The good news is neither of one of us had John Rahm.
No, I did need him in DFS, and that was quite frustrating. He was also on one of my one and done teams, but that happens. It's a freak occurrence, and it's true. That's as bad as it gets. It would have been nice to have Cantlay. That would be a lucky win. But you know what? We talk about this, and we're going to talk about it this week. The key to sustaining in golf betting is you're going to have droughts, is not to put all your eggs in the outright basket. You know, you're able to hit at a higher clip, of course, with top 10s and top 20s. And that can make those weeks where you do go 0-for, which happens frequently, that, you know, they don't sting nearly as much.
So normally, if one of us got one right, we would defer and say, you know, what do you want to do? I'm going to do that right now. Would you rather go first or second today?
I would rather go second, because this is a kick, let, you know, kick off and play defense type of week.
Okay. So I am going to start this off as we normally do in the outright market. And I'm going pretty close to the top, plus 1600 for Matthew Fitzpatrick, having the best season of his career, although he is coming off of a missed cut at the Memorial, which isn't exactly the momentum I'm looking for. But he does have a top five recently at RBC Heritage. He's gaining strokes in all facets of the game. So in a situation where we're heading to a new course, he doesn't have any holes that I immediately am worried about. He's kind of just solid everywhere. And this is not in any way the strongest field I have seen in a golf tournament. I would rather lean a little bit closer to the top end, some of the guys that have the better odds. And in this case, I'm going to Fitzpatrick, who is somewhere in like the top 5 to 7 in terms of odds for this one. I'm feeling a little bit more comfortable going that direction. I think there's a little bit of value in this number, so I'm going to Fitzpatrick.
All right. My first pick outright, 16-1, is Matthew Fitzpatrick. Look at that. Starting off with some synergy here. And yeah, I mean, I'm just going to add in quickly, I did give a bump to the Euros in general. They say this has some correlation to those tournaments. And Fitzpatrick is still looking for a breakthrough on the PGA Tour. He's a prolific winner in Europe. He's taken down fields much stronger than this across the pond at a lot of different venues. He's not going to be intimidated by the length. He keeps it in the fairway despite not being the longest hitter. And he has added distance. So I don't really worry about anything in the game. He's a great Bermuda putter. It's just the fact that 16-1 on a guy that's never won, it kind of feels weird. But you quickly get over that when you look at this field. You get rid of Brooks and DJ, and if they don't win, everybody is in play. And 16-1 is a lot easier to stomach once you realize that situation.
I love the overlap right out of the gate, although I will add the caveat that it didn't work last week.
No.
What up, Rio? What
There's up? A stone 0% chance that you have my next pick. I can just tell you that right now.
Okay.
Zero.
Well, I would imagine that's true. And I can't imagine what sort of nonsense you're about to tell me. I'll let you explain Richie Wurinski after this or whoever it ends up being. I'm going to the top 10 market, plus 600 for Luke List. And he's not exactly coming in hot to this bad boy either, with a miscut at Charles Schwab and at the Memorial. But relatively recently, he does have a T6 at Wells Fargo. The putter is just absolutely awful. He'd be better off beating himself upside the head with it. But when it is okay, he is going to be in contention. He gained strokes putting at Wells Fargo, and that's why you end up seeing him tied for sixth. And that is what I'm crossing my fingers on a brand new course to the tour. I don't know what I really want to read into it, but I do want to bet on someone with a massive off the tee game to carry him. And I just have to hope that he doesn't just immediately die once he gets on the greens. I'm not comfortable with it, but if I'm going to go into a situation in a tournament where I have some question marks, I want to bet on someone that has one extreme skill somewhere.
Yeah, it's tough. I've backed Luke List on these videos. I've backed Luke List in DFS. What you're asking, you already said this. He's not able to generate that type of upside when you lose five or six strokes putting. It's just not possible. Now, on the flip side, when he gains, plus 2.7 at Wells Fargo, sixth. Plus 2.1 at Valero, 17th. He's there every time, and it's just a question of can he do that here. I trust his tee to green game, but we've seen time and time again it's not enough for him. As I say that, though, my guy is not that much different than Luke List in a lot of ways. He's worse. 10-1 for a top 10 on the market here. It's a guy that you may not know exists. His name is Bronson Burgoon, and that is a player that we don't bring up too often. He hasn't had a top 10 in a very long time, going back to 2019, but he is playing some pretty good golf. 13th in two of his last three tournaments, positive off the tee in four straight, positive tee to green in three of four, and he gained across the board at Byron Nelson. It's just one of those situations. It's a weak field. And you really, when you look at these guys who are kind of journeymen slash just like PGA Tour regulars, when you see, like, how do they get their cards? How do they keep their cards? It's because they take advantage of weeks like this when the elite players are just not here. And Bronson Burgoon's skill, like you mentioned with List, he is a very good driver of the ball. The rest of the game, I mean, naturally, it's not super strong. If it was, he wouldn't be 10-1 for a top 10. But I look at a field like this, these are the type of events that we've seen historically him cash. It's not like he hasn't done it. He's got two runner-up finishes in his career on the PGA Tour, and they're both at weaker fields, possibly birdie fest. So I'm going to roll the dice there. You don't need to wager a lot, and you're getting 10 extra money if he has a big week.
I have a sneaky suspicion that we're either going to want to promote this video heavily or scrub it from the records, given some of the quality of some of these golfers. So I'm going to close it out. I'll be honest, I'm normally looking to be able to hit for the cycle. I want the opportunity to get all three bets. So I did go to the top 20 market for my third pick, and I didn't find a lot that I really liked. He's only plus 175 in the spot to finish in the top 20. So it should be relatively likely that Harold Varner ends up in the top 20. He's made four out of his past five cuts, including tying for second at Heritage. He's got four other top 20s just this season. He's having a little bit of a down year in 2021 in comparison to 2020, but he's gained strokes across the board in each of the major categories. So it's not like anything is really leaving him. It's just sort of bland. He's like vanilla ice cream. It's bland across the board. Now, he's not as bad of a putter as Luke List, but it is his problem area. I guess no one's really as bad of a putter as Luke List, but it is not necessarily Varner's strength. But he's 29th in strokes gained tee to green in 2021. And that is something that to me is really interesting, because I don't think the 28 golfers that are better than him are all in this particular field for this week. So that pulls him up to the top to me. If the putter can just be passable, I don't see a reason why Varner's not in the top 20 of this tournament.
I don't mind that. I actually, you know, we have an article with a bunch of our golf content players talking about some of our outright bets in addition to this video. An HV3 at 50-1 in the outright market is something that I think you can make a case for as well, because he has shown when he gets hot, tee to green, he really can get it done. Now, my final bet is a top 20 as well. It's actually the one I feel the best of. Maybe that's by default, considering what I've already said on this video, but I feel pretty good about this. I'm getting 5-1. On Hank Lebioda for a top 20. And name recognition, again, you're just like, not really there. When you dig into the results, particularly recently in May, 13th, 51st, and 17th. So he's cashing this ticket two out of the last three. much stronger fields. That's Wells Fargo, Byron Nelson, and Valspar. Those courses, that competition is just a cut above what he's going to see here. And more importantly, plus 6.2 on the approach at Wells Fargo, plus 4.1 with the irons at Byron Nelson. Positive tee to green in all three. Putting, 2 out of 3 exploded. He's a very volatile putter, so he gained 5.5 strokes putting, and then he lost 5 strokes putting the next week. Kind of comes with the territory. He's a Florida guy, though. There is some correlation to just being in the Southeast in general. It's all Bermuda, obviously. So I'm just looking at a guy here. Again, it's the same concept as Burgoon. He takes advantage of these weaker fields. This is the type of tournament where he should be able to bank a top 20 here and there, and I'm getting 5-1. So given his form, that's an easy click for me.
Cornering the market on the Bronson Burgoon, Hank Lebioda bets for this
Monopoly.
Week. Oof. Yeah, you're going to go directly to jail for those picks. We got a big one next week. I'm excited for that. That is 50-50 my favorite tournament of the year. It depends where the Open Championship, the British Open. Look, it's still the British Open.
It is. That's
I love both of those tournaments more than anything. That is golf to me, both of those. Because it's stark contrast, but I don't know. I love it. I think
yellow
back to the days.
Boards.
Yes. I think back to the days of Tiger dominating in those types of events. I have a soft spot for the monster Tiger win at Pebble. I remember watching it just sitting in a crappy hotel room in Ocean City, Maryland. It's a good time. So we got a real field to talk about next week. I don't get the sense you're going to be going to the Bronson Burgoon, Hank Lebioda types next week.
No, I don't think I could even if I wanted to. But yeah, it's just a different feel. And for betting, that's one of the things that you have to adjust. Obviously, on the DFS side, the salaries change, the lineup construction change, and we'll have you covered there. We have shows all week covering that and certainly the best tools in the business. But for the betting side of things, you just have to be able to live with some different odds on the same players, and it's relative to the field. So keep that in mind. Everyone's going to feel, oh, this is a terrible bet. Normally I get this guy at 40-1 and now he's 20-1. It's a product of the field, and that's just something we have to live with this week.
There you have it, everybody. We are done here. That is the end of the PGA contenders for this week, but keep your eyes peeled for next week because we've got a monster coming up. Good luck this weekend. Win some money. We're going to be back with some W's on our card, and then we will see you again for the Open. Good luck.